Thank you. Thank you very much for coming. You remarkable people. You chose to be here. That's extraordinary. Well, I want to talk to you today about the moving with authority. And I want us to do a really practical thing today. It's a workshop, okay? Workshops has had practical things in it. So I'm going to actually lead you in some activation at the end. So what we've got to do is, so about 45 minutes, I'll just lead you through some scriptures and some understanding, and then we'll spend about another 20 minutes after activating things in our own life, all right? When I talk about activation, I should explain that first. When you activate something, you get a new mobile phone, there are a series of things that you do to set that up to work, right? Or a computer, you activate certain things, or you put a program in, then there's usually an activation code. In other words, that's the thing that helps set the thing up to work. And authority is such an important thing to activate in your own life and get used to activating yourself to move with authority. And there's lots of things that you've got to move with authority in, and particularly when we talk about the cause and the calling on us as his people, we need authority to do that. So where does this authority come from? Who gives it to us? What kind of authority is it? How do I use it? That becomes that kind of the subject we want to cover today. And you'll need your Bible. Did any of you come naked to the workshop? A couple of you came naked. I just don't want to even think about that. Hopefully you can find a Bible and look on with someone. If not, in your notes or in your notebook, just take down the references. I'll read them out and we'll have to kind of do it like that. The nature of the authority that we have. So moving in authority is what I've called this workshop. So what do we know? Well, now the first place I want us to go is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 6. Mark chapter 9, verse 6. Matthew, sorry, I'm reading it incorrectly. Matthew, I apologize. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Welcome, everyone, come on in. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. I'm sorry, we're still trying to find it. Luke chapter 9, no, only joking. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. And here's the words of the Lord Jesus. So that you may know, he's talking to the teachers of the law, verse 4, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now, here's what we can gain from that. The first thing about authority is, notice that Jesus has, he says, so that you know I have authority on the earth. I'm going to do something now that proves that. I'm about to do something. You'll see this with your eyes, and that will be the proof that I have authority to do this thing. My sister's here, so I can tell this story. One of the things I used to delight in doing, and I don't know whether she remembers this, but I can remember a couple of occasions when we were growing up, and Dad would say to me, go and tell your sister to whatever, to do something. And my sister, if I went and said to her, Beth, go and do such and such, she would just say, well, who are you? You can't tell me to do things. Just pull your head in, basically, in a loving sort of Christian way. And anyway, I can remember this one particular occasion when I said to my sister, Beth, you gotta, and I told her what this thing that Dad had said, but I didn't say Dad said. And she said her normal thing, well, who are you? You're not telling me what to do. And then I said, Dad said. Then you could see her face change. Just in case, I'll go and do it, you know? So, in actual fact, Jesus demonstrates with the use of authority. He demonstrates. He said, so that you know, I already know, when you've got authority, you don't need to know anything about it. You've either got it or you haven't got it. And Jesus said, so that you know I've got authority, this is what I'm going to do. So then he tells the paralytic man to get up, take his mat and walk. Now that is also retold in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 10, that particular version of it simply says, well, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It's a little bit specific on that, in the link to forgiveness of sins. Then Luke chapter 5, verse 24 is the other version of it. And in this particular occasion, he said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So both Luke and Mark do the same thing there. Here's the thing. Jesus is about to demonstrate that he has authority on earth to do something very particular. That's to forgive sin. He says, you are about to see something which will tell you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. That's fairly controversial stuff. I don't know whether any of us really understand, because none of us are Jewish or have kind of a Pharisaical background, so or a Pharisee-trained background. So what we're going to have trouble understanding that. But if you understand, Jesus says, you're going to see with your eyes that I have authority on earth. Now, a lot of people would say, okay, well, that's fine. When you're on earth, where do you get authority from? So this is a good question, isn't it? Where do I get authority from as a believer? Now, all our authority is delegated authority. We don't have authority of our own. We are delegated from that authority. The authority on earth to forgive sins that Jesus has, he delegates authority to us out of that. He says, I have authority on earth. I'm about to show you that I have authority on earth. And so that's very important to get in your mind very clearly from the start. We also know from a scripture at the end of Matthew, the very well-known and oft-quoted one, Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, here's interesting. While he's on the earth and alive in a physical body, he says, he only talks about his authority in terms of having authority to forgive sins, cast out demons, heal bodies. But you notice the effect that the cross and the resurrection bring to the nature of his authority. Now he describes it very differently. He says, now all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Then he says, because that's true, I want you now to go. In actual fact, take yourself back to the Matthew one. What's the demonstration that proves he has authority? He tells the man, rise up and walk, and he does. There's the proof. I've got authority, there's the proof, right? Now, what's the authority in this particular case? The authority to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them everything that Jesus said, and so on. Now, that authority, wonderful authority, and the amazing thing about that is that's delegated to you. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, we're here, obviously. In heaven and on earth is given to me. Now you go and demonstrate that authority exists. And that is a really important understanding that I've gained in recent times. I'm learning, hey, this authority I have to make converts, to win people to Christ, is part of that which Jesus won. I'm actually acting in a delegated authority. I have authority on earth to do this. If somebody was to ask me, by what right do you take people for Jesus? Do you win people for Jesus? Because all authority has been given to him, and it's now been I've been delegated power to act on behalf of him. Now, for whom do I win people for Christ? I do it for him. Why? Because he gave me authority to do it. I have authority to do this. Do you know who notes that authority more than anyone else? The devil himself. And if he can get you either to deceive you into not exercising the authority or not realizing you have the authority, he's already achieved his aim. A lot of people say to me, oh, I can't win anyone to Christ. That's not true. You have authority. It's been delegated to you by the Lord Jesus himself. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine, therefore you go. He didn't say 9 out of 10 of you will go. He didn't say 2 out of 10 of you go. He said, you go. And all the disciples simply accepted that. Hey, we have authority to do this now. Now, that authority will express itself differently, but we have authority. I have authority to do this. I have the right to do this. I mean, that's a wonderful thought. I have the right to do this. Now, of course, you go over to Acts. You keep finding these fascinating little insights. I read this stuff and go, oh, spend hours wondering about it. Acts 1. Fortunately, I won't bore you with that much. Acts 1, verse 7. Now, here's a really interesting one. What's the little word? It's got three letters. It starts with an A and it's got two L's in it. What word's that? All. And what? How much authority does Jesus have in heaven and on earth? All authority. Yes, all. Is there anything missing from that, do you think? All authority except? No, he says all authority. Now look at verse 7 of chapter 1. He says something very different, and recognizing that there is a limit to his authority. Look at it. Verse 7. See there? It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. It's an interesting thing, don't you think? That Matthew says, all authority is given to me. And then Jesus, out of his own mouth, from Luke's account, is, well, the Father has set that by his own authority, and I don't know. Now, there is a very important thing here. I think that the language is what puts us off. Friends, what is about to happen, when Jesus is speaking at the end of Matthew, he's speaking about what is about to happen on the earth. That what was going to happen was that the gospel was going to go out and people were going to come to Christ as a result. That was what was about to happen. And when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth, that's what it was for. Now, he had a limit to his authority. It was only that area. The limit to Jesus' authority was that he had to hand over everything to God and he would not know the times and the dates. So he limited himself so that, because the beautiful thing about the Godhead is it's a community of submission. The Son is in submission to the Father. The Father in submission to the Son. It's a beautiful thing. I give you all authority, yeah, and I give some of it back to you. You know, it's kind of a love, sort of. There's a lot of love in the room and the Godhead's there. So you've got to understand that the one in Matthew, it's all authority on earth, in heaven and on earth, is given for the express purpose of what is about to happen. The kingdom of God is about to burst on the earth. Remarkable. It's now going to touch nations. Absolutely remarkable. Mind-blowing stuff. And what he says is, now I have all authority for that task to happen. And I'm delegating it to you. I'm delegating it to you. I think that's just cause to say, did you choose the wrong people, Lord? It's just remarkable. God has chosen us to be in, plan A. Now, trip over to Romans 13, just as a little bit of a sidelight. Romans 13. Romans 13, 1 to 6. Very well-known passage. Hey, we've got some seats down here, mate. Some beautiful people can sit down here. I promise I won't spit. I do mostly, but I try not to. Okay, Romans 13. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Now, there's authorities that exist have been established by God. See that there? Verse 1. Authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he rebels against the authorities rebelling against what God has instituted. Well-known passage. I don't want to spend too much time on it. You get the idea that delegated authority has been God delegates authority, even to government. Government's not meant to be the answer for everything. It's simply meant to be delegated by God for a specific purpose, for our physical welfare, right? That's all government's supposed to do for us, is look after our physical welfare. There are others who have authority to work in the spiritual area or in the supernatural area or in regards to our spirits and our sinful natures and so on. Here's the efficacy of this is, God has delegated lots of different authorities. Mine is different. I'm not in government. I'm not in government. I don't have that delegated authority, but I am delegated an authority concerning the kingdom of God. And if I don't think that's true, then I'm going to be out of step with the word of God right from the start. I've got to get into my thick little head here that I have a delegated authority. I act with authority on the earth. I act with the express authority, even written authority, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says to me, now I have all authority in heaven and earth, Colin, now you go. You go, you exercise my authority. I've got it there, it's in place, boom, there it is. Someone, if I'm speeding down the road and somebody yells out, slow down, I probably wouldn't stop. But if there's a guy in a car with a little blue light on it and he's coming after me, man, I'm going to slow down. Why? Because he's got authority. He's got authority. I recognize it. Right? Now, the little guy from outer space jumps in his car and he's driving along. He doesn't recognize the cop. He's going to keep going. Do we recognize authority? You recognize authority. Teachers have authority. Pastors can have authority. All kinds of delegated authority to act, and government has authority. You have authority. You have authority. Right now, you're just sitting here listening to me, but you have authority. You have the same level of authority as me. We have authority to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and to make converts. We have authority to do that. The devil comes up to me and says, by what right are you doing that? I tell him, because I have authority. Jesus said all authority was given to him, told me how to use it, taught me how to go, told me I should go and make disciples. Make disciples. I have authority to do that. Someone sees me doing it. I have authority to do it. There's that wonderful little story in the Gospels where, Jesus says, go and borrow the donkey. And if anyone asks you, tell them the Lord has need of it. I mean, I just love the Lord Jesus. I think he's the greatest comedian on earth. Imagine if I had a few disciples here, and I said, Peter, I want you to go downstairs and there's a donkey tethered at the front door. And I want you to bring it up here. And if anyone should ask you, tell them Colin sent you. Yeah, you know what's going to happen there. The donkey's not coming in here, mate. Okay, so there's a higher authority somewhere. But if you understand, what my thinking is that the enemy wants us to either not acknowledge that authority or not exercise it. Either way, he wins. He doesn't have to possess you. He doesn't have to make your life miserable. He doesn't have to rob you. He doesn't have to even deceive you. All he has to do is to get you either to not accept that you have authority or convince you that you don't have any. But the Word of God says, you sitting there, just how beautiful are you? But you have authority. You have, just you can say to myself, I have authority. I can do this. I have authority to make disciples. You could say that differently. I have authority to make disciples. I have authority to make disciples. I have authority to make disciples. Which way would you like it? Who prefers the I have authority? There's a few of you. Who would prefer I have authority to make disciples? There's a couple, yeah. Who doesn't really care? I won't continue any further with that. There's a couple of other scriptures just on that, down that little rabbit bar. 1 Timothy 2. Man, there's so much about authority in the Bible. I'm just picking out a few goodies. 1 Timothy 2, verse 2. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and holiness. That's basically what Paul was saying earlier to the Romans. It also comes up in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Great passage, this one. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so their work will be a joy, not a burden. That would be of no advantage to you. Well, the interesting thing is that we actually don't acknowledge, sometimes we don't acknowledge the message unless the messenger is kosher. You know, so do that. Sometimes, have you noticed that sometimes the truth comes to you out of the mouth of someone that you don't respect? I hate that. I've said to the Lord several times, you got to change that, man. You just got to change that. That doesn't work. That was one of the 103 things I recommended to the Lord. Please change that so that all the people who speak the truth to me are people I respect. That would be so good. You bring those donkeys to me and they speak the truth of God. I don't want to listen to them. I don't respect them. God says, pay attention to my servant Cyrus. I can imagine all the Jews going, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. Right. Not. We tend to say that authority is someone you earn. But in actual fact, Jesus actually just gives it authority to his people. He says, go. Now, yeah, but Lord, I'm waiting for something more. Yeah, I have authority. That's good. I have authority. That's great. I appreciate that authority. Right? I'm just not sure about some other things. It's like, I got married to my wife. And I got this piece of paper that said I'm married to her. Whoop-de-doo, I can sleep in the same bed as her now. Woohoo! I'm excited. And then I start to learn. No, there are other things you have to learn. I may have authority to do this, but then, there's a whole stack of things I've got to learn. I've got to learn that, when I give her $20 and the thing only costs $5, there is no change. Now, Bill Cosby first said that in the 1970s, and it is still true. I'm finding it even true in the 21st century. There is no change. I said it costs $5. There's no change. That's right. I saved you money. Yeah, but where's the 20? There is no change. Well, have you got 20? Are you kidding? Get your own money. See? That's how it works. I understand that. And I'm growing. So I have authority. I have authority. You know, the government recognizes our union. We have authority to act as a couple. And that's legal in our country. Now, in the body of Christ, there is an authority vested in you for the sake of the kingdom. And one of the big problems that we've got in the world is that a lot of us aren't operating with the authority we have. We have authority. I mean, what else do you want? You want Jesus to come into the room and say, oh, by the way, you have authority? I mean, I think that's what we'd want. Say, hey, Jesus, could you turn up tomorrow morning? Just tomorrow morning. You know, at approximately 9:06, and in the form of a, you know, what would Adrian Plass say? You know, the midget Japanese admiral or something, and say, you have authority, you know. Come on, what do you want? It written on a wall or something? God's word says you have authority. Just think about that. I have authority to make disciples. I have authority to make disciples. I don't have to get anything else. I already have that. I have that authority now. I'm sitting here right now listening to this coot up the front. I have authority right now. I don't have to listen to him anymore because I have authority. Something between that point and actually going out and making disciples, something goes wrong. We go, yes, I have authority. No, I don't. Now, here's the thing. Moving in authority means you've got to align yourself with the fact that God has spoken and that God has given me authority. When I go out to minister to people, the devil knows I have authority to do that. He is in fear of me. He is in fear of me. Not because I have it, but I have this delegated authority on me. He is in dreadful fear that I may do something inconvenient to his scheme. He can't touch me. I have authority. And when demons declare themselves, I have authority and I deal with them. When bodies need to be healed, I have authority to do that. And there are some times when I don't see the answer to that, you know, the healing in the body. But I have to say, well, something, I've got to learn something else, but I have the authority to do this. And I've seen some great miracles. Because I'm not worrying about ones I don't get right, I'm worried about the ones I am getting right. I'm not looking at the half-empty glass. If you're melancholy, if I can do it, you can do it. You don't make an excuse. I have authority to do this. You think about this. The unsaved person that you know at your workplace, next door, in your own home, whatever, in your own family, whatever. I have authority to minister the grace of God to them. I have that. Jesus has delegated it to me. And that to me has to be something we become preoccupied with. Another scripture... 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Oh, look, it's just so exciting. I have this. The end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God. That's Jesus hands over the kingdom to the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power, for he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy will be death. And then he says, verse 24. 7, now when it says everything has been put under him, it's clear that this does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. See what I said about being a, you know, sort of a, there's a lot of love in the room when the Godhead's there? Yeah. So here's the nature of a time, there is a time when God will end the validity of the authority he has delegated to his son, and that's still to come. All authority vested in us through Jesus at the resurrection will not be delegated any longer. That's coming to a point. All authority is going to be eventually vested back by Jesus to God. And that's still to come. Until that day, you and I have authority to do certain things in the world, in the earth. And the earth needs us to take that authority. Now, I'm not saying, I'm in charge, you do what I say. No, we have a delegated authority to do something very important. The church was never meant to boss society around. That's why governments were invented. What we were meant to do was work with government by winning people to Christ. Because you know and I know, you can write great laws for your country, but if people don't have character, they're not going to obey them. The Constitution of the Americans was written, and Benjamin Franklin said at the time, unless we have a country full of people with character enough to fulfill these laws, we're lost. The fact that our jails are full... not because we have a problem with reading, but because we have a character issue. People say to me, I want more money. Well, I say to them, you need more character first. You want more money, get more character. But God doesn't trust a lot of us with money because he knows what we're like with it. We just keep it for ourselves. He needs people that will stir it around. Do you know, the world is better when the money's going around. That's why God talks so much about giving. There's an authority in that. You have authority to act. Now, you have to make that decision. This is the day I decide to understand and to act on this. I have authority. You think of that right now. Think of that person who's unsaved that you know. You think about that and you say to yourself, look at that person. I have authority to minister the grace of God to that person. I have the authority to do that. I have the authority to invest time in them to see them come to Christ. I have the authority to move heaven, if necessary, for their sake. I mean, that is what changes our minds about things. And you don't have to second guess situations. I'm not wondering about this. This is me. I've got this. So help me, I want this. You know, I want to do something about this world. Oh, really? Good. Why don't you start then? Oh, yeah, but I need... No, you don't. Now, you don't have to take over the world. What are you? Some sort of dictator? No, you don't have to take over the world. You don't have to be the prime minister. You don't have to be a pastor. Preferably, if you weren't, that'd be actually really good. Ever since we got professional pastors, the church has not been growing as well. So maybe there's a lesson there, I think. Maybe one day what's going to happen is we're going to see that everyone will rise up and say, I have authority. See, I have authority. Just think about that for a second. I have authority. I have authority to act. So the nature of our delegated authority is that it operates to perform the will of the one who delegated it. Fair enough. I have authority. See, the government invests in the policeman a certain authority. Isn't that true? And if he says, excuse me, sir. You know they are so cool, those guys. They don't have to argue. Have you noticed that? Why? Because they've got authority. Excuse me, sir. Can I see your license? No, thanks. Hello? You've got a problem now, right? My brother tells the story of the day when a copper pulled him over and said, excuse me, sir, would you blow on this bag? And my brother apparently said to him, why, are your chips hot? Oh, I don't know whether he actually did that, but man, I've got a feeling the copper wouldn't have thought, ah, oh, ha, ha, that is so funny. You notice they don't argue with it. You know, I hear people debating with devils. Why? I don't know. You have to raise your voice with a demon. They're perfect hearing. But we like a bit of theatre, don't we? Be loosed from him. I feel better now. There's lots of good stories I could tell you on that, but I won't. Here we go. You think about that. I have authority to act. But it's a delegated authority. I can only use it for the purpose for which it has been given to me. Oh, well, that's a catch. Someone should have told me. You know, I'd rather have just authority. You know, it's sort of like Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go and do what you like. I like it. It works. Actually, that might be one of the number 104 suggestions I make to the Lord. Why don't you just give us authority and let us do whatever? I don't think he'll do that one either, given what I know of him already. Friends, if Jesus has given you authority, it's a delegated authority. Because it's delegated, you have to use it, and it only works when it's used for the purpose for which he delegated it to you. And I don't think there's a mistake when Jesus says, I have the authority, now you go, make disciples. Now, when you go away from that, when you shift your allegiance and you make it all about building, you know, fashioning something after your own likeness, and you're not building the kingdom, but you're building the church, you're actually misusing the authority. So I think it's a good thing for us to stop ourselves and say, Lord, I don't want to use the authority you've delegated to me for any other purpose than the one you gave. I know I've got authority to win people to Christ. I've got a right to do it. I've got an authority to do it. I'm going to go out and do it. And if a devil comes to me and is casting debates with me, I would just remind him, I'm sorry, but I already have the authority that you can't argue with. You got a problem with my authority? You go to the Lord Jesus and argue it with him. You won't go very far. You know, when the copper, when you say to the copper who's pulled you over and he says, hello, 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 let's see your license then, you know, and you get your license, he doesn't have to argue with you. He doesn't have to say, if you say, no, I don't want to give it to you, he just says, well, then come with me. You know, you can make a contribution to the policeman's ball later. But you're going to do it. It's eventually going to happen. You know, the authority vested in him means that he knows how this is going to end. Now, the authority is delegated to me to win people to Christ. I know how this is going to end. People are going to come to Christ. Should I be surprised when they do? But there's a buzz when that happens, isn't it? Who likes leading someone to Christ? Who has had the joy of leading someone to Christ in this room? Is there any bigger high than that? I don't think I know it. I mean, every time I do it, I go, well, let's do it again. Who's next? You know, because I have authority to do this. And it works. You know, my daughter says to me, Dad, yes, Rebecca, I'm thinking of going down to Melbourne for schoolies. And I then say, no. But Dad, I'm almost 17. And I say, no, I'm your parent. She says, is it your job to make me miserable? No, I say, that's the perks of my job. I have authority. Now, my 24-year-old, he decides for himself. I don't have authority over him, but he still comes to me and asks, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you reckon? That's my job. I then speak to him as an equal, right? So that's a shared kind of relationship. But you don't have, where the winning of converts is concerned, you have authority to minister the grace of God. I mean, you think about this for a second. You have authority to tell people their sins can be forgiven. You have authority to tell them that. Your sins can be forgiven. I have authority to tell you. Who gave it to you? The Lord Jesus Christ did. What, you got a piece of paper with that written on? Well, as a matter of fact, yes. I got a whole stack of papers written on. Oh, yeah, that's the Bible. I've seen that before. So, we who operate in this authority in the earth and for the earth, because we don't do it for heaven, we do it in the earth. And what do we pray? As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. We'll come to that in a second. Satan, of course, knows the power behind this authority, even though it's only delegated, but he still fears it. He can't dispute the authentication of it. Do you know, I mean, if a devil debates with you, as sometimes happens, I actually said, I was ministering to someone in Rockhampton. It was a long time ago. Anyway, I was ministering to this lady, and she was really troubled, and there came a spirit encounter, and I approached the demon, and I just said, look, I have authority here. You have to leave. And she, out of her own mouth, says, whose authority is it? And I said, you know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as that happened, the spirit came out. It wasn't a debate. Because, see, these things recognize authority. And people, when we act in authority to them, when we're not trying to put something over them, we're trying to genuinely love on them and bring them the grace of God, they begin to recognize that you do have something. You have authority to share something with them. I think that's tremendously exciting. And I want you all, everyone in this room, you have been delegated this authority. If you use this authority for the Father's purpose and will, you're going to be so excited. You're going to see it work. And it is very exciting once it gets activated in your life. Very exciting indeed. So the enemy will try to get you to not use it because he doesn't want it used. His best strategy has been to get you to see yourself wrongly, not as a child of God having authority. He wants you to see yourself as some lesser being. We see ourselves as weak, inept, and powerless. It'd be like this. The devil comes to me and says, you're weak. Yeah, so what? You're powerless. Yep, so what? You're inept. Oh, way harsh, but okay. Right? So what? You got a bad past. So what? You don't know what you're talking about. Possibly, but so what? If I have the authority of the living God and I am moving in that delegated authority, what I am really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I now recognize myself as a child of God and I move with the authority of God. And I have to make my mind up. Is that true or isn't it? Either I'm going to take that up and go, oh, I want that, I'm going to have a go at that. Or I'm going to sit in the sidelines and say, this is boring. And it isn't boring, but you'd swear by the way some of us are living, you know. Look at me sucking lemons for about 400 years, you know. That. You come to church and you see people and they're just not enjoying it. It's kind of like they haven't read the memo. You can be happy. Guys, you have authority. God has invested it in you, provided that you use it. It's a delegated authority, so you've got to use it for his purpose. What are you going to do? I'm going to fulfill his will and purpose. I'm going to exercise my authority. I am going to win people to Christ. You start looking out then. Now, just imagine this. You go and spend your life now saying, I've got this authority and I just want to use it. I can only use it for certain things, so, you know, I'm going to look for an opportunity to use my authority there. You know, you say, you look through your list of friends. Who's most likely? You know? You're looking for where the Holy Spirit is working. You're saying, Lord, are you working with that one? Now, can I use any authority on that one? You know, and you start to be intentional and move towards them because you know you have authority to make disciples. You have that authority. Yeah, but what if I don't understand enough of the Bible? You have authority to do it. It will come to you, I promise you. It's so exciting, I tell you. I just enjoy this so much. Long ago, you know, this is something I've learned and just so appreciated. Let's have a look at a couple of other scriptures before we do some activation. Matthew chapter 6. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer. Who knows the Lord's Prayer? Yes. Well, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Jesus didn't teach us how to preach. He taught us how to pray. Yes. Actually, you know, you go to most churches and you ask them, we're going to have a prayer meeting. You're all in favour? Yes. And they don't come. You want to tell me about that? What's going on there? Man, there's something wrong in the water. Bible study. Bible reading. If I was to go up to any person in this room and say, do you think Bible reading is important? Everyone say, yes. Do you read it? No. Mostly, occasionally, or I'm stuck in Leviticus, or all the above. Yeah. Just one tip too. Don't read the Bible for understanding first. Read the Bible because it is the Bible. Read the Word because it is the Word. Get the Word in. Because when the Word gets in, it finds a way to get out. When God works salvation into you, you spend the rest of your life trying to work it out. And authority is one of the ways you work it in. When you got saved, there was this itty little bit of chip with it. And in that chip said authority. And boom, my man, you activate that thing and you start to see some amazing things happen. Now, you've got to practice. You've got to practice. And you don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to worry about failure. You know what failure means in the kingdom of God? Absolutely nothing. It's so exciting. It is so exciting. I just failed. So what? It's kind of like this. I just failed. Ha! It's just so exciting. And you know, when you don't fear failing, you end up not failing. It's a remarkable thing that happens because you're orienting yourself to something very different. All right, so here's the go. Jesus is praying. And you know, so they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he gives them some advice. You know, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Wonderful. Don't be like them. So go into your room, close the door. Oh, that could make a good song. Anyway, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. Babbling like pagans. You know, I don't like to think of myself as praying babble, but perhaps it's possible. Anyway, he says this, verse 9. This is how you should pray. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then the Catholics put a little ending on it. Now, most people remember it in the King James. Remember? Yeah. You always get it mixed up, don't you? Get those lines mixed up in the middle. It's always lovely when you go to an Anglican church and they do it all the time. When you go to an Anglican church and you get it mucked up, you have to milly vanilly for a while there.
And I can come and they feel of me to hear. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Now, look at this prayer though. There is some things that will help us to understand. You see, the purpose for the delegated authority that you have is that the will of God is to be done on the earth. The will of God is that people will be made disciples. Everything else comes under that. Worship, everything else comes under that. We discern, our big task is to win people to Christ. All right, notice this. There are actions for us to do. He says, there are four actions. He said, honor the name of the Father. Ask with the expectation that the kingdom will come. Ask with the expectation that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive everyone who sins against us, because we have authority to do that. In actual fact, that's, if you want to start using authority, do that. Someone wrongs you, practice using your authority. I mean, you could say this to them and they might not understand. They do something wrong to you, then you can look at them and say, I have authority from the Lord Jesus to forgive you, therefore I forgive you. They may think you're a bit crazy, but that's basically what you're doing. You're exercising your authority. I'm choosing to forgive you. Now, interesting thing, that affects the heavens. That has a remarkable effect in the heavens. Why? Because that's where the authority comes from. Do you want to change a pattern from heaven into earth? You forgive sins. So someone's wronged you. Has anybody wronged you and you've not forgiven them? There might be a couple of people back there. You're going to say to them, I forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I release you from responsibility for that. Now, there's that other scripture that says, remember Jesus said, if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Ooh, ouch, that's scary. You mean I can't even hold on to my animosities anymore? No. So everybody take out your animosities right now. Let me see them. Thank you. One or two of you have animosities. You need a little hand. Drop them away now. Stomp on them and don't get them back again. Exercise your authority. Here it is. There's four things out of the Lord's Prayer. Here's the first one. Honor the name of the Father. Second, ask that the kingdom will come. Ask that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and forgive everyone who sins against you. Now that's where you start exercising authority. I've begun to do that a lot. Lord, I'm honoring your name. I want to honor your name with my life. I do that in worship and all sorts of other ways. And I say, Lord, I want your kingdom to come. I want your rule to come. I want it to come in my life, but I also want it to come in a whole bunch of other people's lives. And also, I want that not only will the kingdom come, but your will be done on earth like it's being done in heaven right now. That's what I want. I want Jesus honored right now, like it is in heaven. His name is being honored. I want that right now. And also, as a matter of fact, the other thing that I want is I want to forgive, so I'm going to choose to forgive. Now, that's the basis of beginning the process of exercising authority. That's what you're doing when you do it. Now, go back to Matthew 28. Going quick. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Here's more actions. He says, go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them. And get it's the core issues of the New Testament. Now, of course, that includes something that potentially creates a problem for army people. Well, it may not, it may. But I don't think it's a case of two out of three ain't bad. But anyway, the point is, I want you to realize that we have this wonderful authority to not only lead someone into the kingdom, but also to bring them right into the kingdom and to see the effect of the kingdom as complete over them. So, these are the core issues. See, I have this authority. I have it to ask for the kingdom to come, to ask for the will of God to be done. I have authority also to forgive sins. I have authority also to make disciples. I have authority to baptize them, and I have authority to teach them. I can teach them what Jesus says. Yeah, but I don't know everything. Yeah, but you have the authority to do it, and that's where it'll start with you. I have authority. I have authority. Lots of people exercise authority, but they don't feel confident that they have the right to do so. It's not material. What is material is that you have authority from God to exercise this to exercise in the world on his behalf. If you're born of the Spirit, then you have received this authority. It is to be exercised in the cause of soul winning, and any confrontation with demons is peripheral to that. Jesus, you know, that's the core of it, in other words. Jesus exercises authority, of course, very differently to us. The prophet Isaiah, in chapter 11 of Isaiah, explains that the Messiah operates on a different plane when he exercises authority. In fact, if you would like to turn with me, Isaiah 11. I'm sorry, I'm talking fast because we've only got a few minutes left before we do our activation. Want to do our activation? More fun doing activations. Chapter 11, verses 3, second half of it. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, that with justice he will give decisions for the poor. So you see the different way, the process he takes. He actually doesn't judge on what he sees or hears, but by righteousness and justice. And that's the way in which he strikes out into the world, because he makes them on different bases. Now, Jesus did not heal everybody. He did not deliver everyone of every demon. The thing is, he observed where the Father was acting, and he acted in that area. And it's very important for you and me to learn that we have this authority, but we're to exercise it very much in the area that he has given for us, or indicates for us, is the right place. And sometimes you've got to do a little bit of thinking. You've got to think, now, where does God want me to work? Where does God want me to be acting? Because I think that's very important, a decision. I've got this authority and I want to exercise it, but Lord, where will the authority be needed? And there's a number of different ways you discern that, but you begin to realize that Jesus does not discern where to exercise his authority based on what he sees. Right? He doesn't discern it on the basis of what he sees. You do. I do. And I've got to learn not to use these eyes. I've got to learn to use my spirit. And I've got to go, oh, my spirit gives witness. I can't see how this person's going to come through, but that's where God's working. You're going to get a witness like this in lots of different situations. I'm sure people in this room have had the experience of they meet someone and they just have a real witness. God's working in their hearts. But they seem so hard. They seem so resistant. Why is it that God's working in them? And yet you know that's where you've got to be exercising authority. Not based on what you see, not based on what you think, but based on what the Spirit of God says. And that's a remarkable insight when you can get it. And that's the way the Messiah exercises his authority, not judging on what he sees or hears, but with the righteousness, something out of his spirit. We use our senses, but our five senses, if we think it's possible. And again, that's that idea I talked about earlier, but don't pray the possible, pray the impossible. Go for the impossible. That's more where God is. Now we come to the activating session. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to straighten up our thinking in this process, to increase. Now, I'll just get you to put that back up for me, my friend. To increase the effectiveness of the use of the authority we have. Now, here's what I want you to do first, before the activation thing starts, and we're going to put this activation prayer up there. I want you to, if you have got notebooks, I want you to make a list. You've got several columns, but maybe just two columns. On the left-hand side column, make a list of all the things in your life experience in which you regard yourself as helpless and incapable of making a difference, even though Jesus has called you to. And particularly, some of you will need to put down there leading someone to Christ. I don't think I can do that. And if that's the case, put that there. But I want you to make a list of all the things you don't believe you can do, the places you don't believe you can go, the limits you believe are on you. Just start to think through. For some of you, it'll be leading someone to Christ. For others of you, it'll be enjoying your life, just simply enjoying it, because your life's pretty miserable right now. You don't think you've got permission to be happy. Now, others of you, let me just say it again, that there are some of us who have things in our life experience in which we regard ourselves as helpless. Maybe it's your son, your daughter, who is refusing to come to love the Lord Jesus. Maybe you think that you are helpless. Or perhaps someone at work is vitriolic to you, hateful to you. You believe you are helpless in the face of them. You've got a situation with a workplace, maybe a boss who's difficult. You believe that you've got no alternative but to leave that work. You've got an illness in your body that you believe there's no answer for. You've got perhaps someone that you know, a loved one, has an illness in their body. You feel helpless. Do you understand what I'm saying? Put a list of them down there. You don't have to share them with anybody. Put a list of them down there. Now, particularly some of you will put down that one of them as leading someone to Christ. Now, that's okay. Believe me, that is okay. Now, when you finish writing a bit of a list, you might only have two or three there, but in the next column right next to it, I want you to explain how that situation would look different if you had a right picture of what God wants in your mind. Now, let me just explain here. Take the issue of leading someone to Christ. If you've already done it, just wave your hand at me again. Okay, can you see that in your head, how that happens? Right? You can see it. You can see the kind of situation that happens. You're talking with them. You're explaining the gospel to them. They're responding. You're helping guide them through the process. You can see that with your mind, right? Who can see it? Those of you who've led, can you see it? It's in there, right? You know, the problem is the rest of you don't have the cells already wired up, ready to go and work for you. Your brain is there, it's ready to work for you, but you're not using it yet. So what has to happen is before I get that, I got to see, almost got to see myself leading someone to Christ. Can I do that? Yeah. Use your imagination. Dream a little bit. I mean, think of it. Leading someone to Christ. Could I possibly do that? And if you have this, say, I couldn't do it. You see, that's what you're going to get back. You're not going to do it. But if you change your mindset and say, I can see myself doing this because I have authority. Jesus says, I have authority on earth to do this. How remarkable. I can do this. Can I see myself bringing someone to Christ? The possibilities are endless. Some of you might have put down, I have a really bad work situation. Can I see that work situation any differently? Or is that the only way I see that work situation? Or my own life. I see my life a certain way. Is that the only way I can see that? Or can I see myself as happy and enjoying loving Jesus? You got the idea? Do you understand what I say? Can you see it? So you look at the thing on your list, then you go, how differently could this look? See if you can do it. Even if you just do it for one, how differently will it look if I trust the Lord, if I get a right picture in my mind? But for some of you, it may even be as simple as this. I still cannot believe, people tell me that I'm loved by God. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Yet God's word says it. I wonder whether you can picture God loving on you. And you get a mental picture almost of God loving on me. Yes, he can. He does love me. And I can get my mind working on what God's word says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The depth of your being, where you start to get a picture of the fact that you do love the Lord, and the Lord loves you. That failure isn't permanent. You got the idea? And what you're trying to do now is to activate something. You're trying to activate by faith what God's word says and not what you think. You acknowledge, the next process will be in a moment, we'll acknowledge that we've been acting out of our conditioning and therefore with disobedience rather than a commitment to the will of God. Most of us will act out of our conditioning more than we act out of the will of God. You spend most of your life with this happening. Conditioning, will of God, you know, wrestling, you know. Some of us, isn't this true? Some of us fear rejection so much, we won't try anything. Because we have pictures of rejection on the inside of our head. We know what it looks like. We don't want to go anywhere near it. Not even with a barge pole. We want to keep right away from rejection. Because rejection is a threat to the way I am. So I don't want to get rejected. So I'm not going to try anything. I don't want to fail. I fear failure so much. If I try to lead someone to Christ and they get further away, I'll think that's a failure, and that'll be bad for me. Do you know sometimes when you witness to the Lord about the Lord Jesus to someone, they might go in the opposite direction for a while. Don't be surprised. It's all part of the wonderful paradox of working for the Lord. Don't be afraid. Get the right picture. The right picture in your mind is, I can do this because Jesus has delegated an authority to me to do this. And picture yourself exercising authority. I can do this. I have authority to do it. I can lead people to Christ. I have to make that decision. Now, if your conditioning says you can't do anything, then that's what you do. Nothing. Is that the way you want it? Oh, yes, well, you know, some Christians get to do all the good things. I never will. Well, yeah, you can be like that if you like. Or you can say, I have authority to do this. I'm going to get in and have a go. And I may not get it right the first time. Who cares? Fortunately, the guy said failure wasn't permanent in the kingdom of God. Great. Well, I can practice. Who can I practice on? Okay, here's what we've got to do. Look at this prayer. I come now in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. I stand before you washed by his blood. I place no confidence in anything I might do to earn your favor. You are the strength, are my strength and my life. I choose your will in respect of, and something you've written on that list. I yield myself to you for obedience to that matter. I take up the authority you've given me to do this work in your name. Now, for those of you who are, when we activate this in a second, I want, when we do this activation prayer, for those of you who have never led someone to Christ, that's what I want you to do. I want you to put in there, I choose your will in respect of leading people to Christ. I yield myself to you for obedience to that matter. Now, that's, you're going to have to tell yourself this and pray this. This has got to be something that gets into your head until you get a picture of it. No, this is me. This is who I am. I'm going to do this. Do you understand what I mean by this? Is there, do you understand what I mean when I say we orient ourselves to our conditioning? You understand that? Yeah, we do that. We do that. We're good at it. It's just natural. It just happens. I don't want us to be good. I want us to be good at winning people to Christ. So I've got to orient myself to my thinking first, because I talk myself out of it long before I have a go. Isn't that true? Yeah? I let my conditioning tell me I can't. Yeah? Oh, don't have a go at that. Oh, you'll make a hash of it. And you've never done it before. Oh, precedent. Isn't it wonderful? Roger Bannister was the first guy to run the 4-minute mile. Do you know, no one had done it, though they had been trying. They had been training people. Then Roger Bannister said he got a picture of himself running it, and he broke that 4-minute barrier. And you know, in the next month, 6 more guys broke it. Why? Because there was a precedent. Somebody got it in their head, they can do it. Some guy figured out that electricity would work. He figured it out in his head. And he said, I'm going to do this until I get electricity. So he failed about 104 times. But he got the picture in his head. And he said, I'm going to see this happen. And then all of a sudden, there it was. Alexander Bell said he tried the telephone. It's great. The Wright brothers. It's wonderful. He thought he saw the birds flying and said, dude, we've got to try that. You can check it in the history book, that one of the Wright brothers said to his brother, dude, we've got to try that. It's in there. Check it out. Some of you don't believe me. You have to get, though, into line with what God's saying. What's God saying? You have all authority. My son says he has all authority. Now he says, I'm delegating authority to you. Now you go. You do it. You do it. And you say, well, Lord, today I'm going to get myself in line with you. I'm not going to listen to my conditioning. My conditioning says I can't do that. I'm going to do this. Some of you put on the top of your list, I can't forgive so-and-so. I can't forgive so-and-so. Well, Lord, I choose to align myself. I have authority in the earth to forgive sins. So I'm going to exercise it. For my own sake, for her sake, for his sake, whatever. You got the idea? So you know what to do? You know what to put in? Maybe. I want you to now stand up to your feet. Stand them up to your feet and with boldness. I want you to be bold on the inside. Now, I know none of you are Baptists. Baptists have this down pat. We dance on the inside. We are bold on the inside. Everything we do on the inside. I'm one of the exceptions to that rule. That's why I don't quite fit anywhere these days. Anyway, I come in the name of your son, Jesus. I stand before you washed clean by his blood. You know what? You might even have, I just heard in my spirit, the Lord says, one of you has got a son that you've wanted to come to Christ and he hasn't yet. I want you to put him in there. I want you to realize you have authority exercised to bring him in. We want that boy in, Lord. We want that boy in. Some of you are going to have to put his name in there in respect of Jim or in respect of Mary or whatever, but particularly a son. And if you're bold enough and you want me, I'm offering to pray for you specifically and agree with you. If you want to do that, you just let me know and I'll do that, all right? So here's what I want you to do. And we're going to say this prayer together, but I'm not going to, you know, expect you just to, you know, start saying something really personal. And then someone, did you hear what she's praying about? Gee, where's all this? She's got a problem, hasn't she? Oh, anyway, I can share this. You know, I'm going to share about this just for prayer, of course. And I'm going to do it in love as well. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Here we go. You're going to say the prayer, but we're going to actually, at this point, what we're going to do, are you with me? What we're going to do is, we're going to just, after this line, we're going to stop, I'm going to pause, and I want you to just quietly, to yourself, say, I choose your will in respect of, and I want you to really, all right, go for it. And I don't want you praying, but you probably won't give it to me. You probably won't do anything. You probably don't even want to hear. If I catch anyone doing that, so help me, I'll peg this microphone at you, all right? I'll be able to tell because I'll stand up here and I'll be able to see it on your faces. Yes. Stop it. Right? Oh, no, just... Okay. You got the idea? Okay. So, and then a little while, I'll start that prayer again and we're going to say that loud. Now, I don't want you to say it like this. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to let it all hang out. All right? Let it all hang out. Be bold. Just pretend someone's trying to sell you something you don't want. Reverse the polls. Here we go. Father, I come in the name of your Son, Jesus. I stand before you washed clean by his blood. I place no confidence in anything I might do to earn your favor. You are my strength and my life. Now go for it. Go for it in your prayers. Boldly lay a hold of it. I choose your will in respect of that, Lord. I choose your will. Keep boldly pressing in. Lord, that's what I want. That's what I'm exercising authority for. I'm wanting that. I want to see that. I want to see that boy come to Christ. This isn't the yacht prayer. This is for someone to come to Christ. This is for someone to be healed. This is someone to come free. Choose your will in respect of them. All right, now let's continue. I yield myself to you for obedience to that matter. I take up the authority you have given me to do this work in your name. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. I want you to say that last phrase. I take up the authority you have given me. I want you to say it like you mean it this time. I want you to say it like it's a cry out of your heart and activate it in your spirit and try to get to the point where you can see it. All right? And with bowls, we're going to say it two or three times. And I want you to be thinking of that matter that you raised with the Lord just a minute ago. Here we go. I take up the authority you have given me to do this work in your name. Again, I take up the authority you have given me to do this work in your name. Again, I take up the authority you have given to me to do this work in your name. One more time. I take up the authority you have given to me to do this work in your name. Father, I thank you that you hear these prayers as we activate these authorities in our life. I pray, Lord, that that will break new ground and that our lives will begin to feel the difference of that activation. Teach us to activate that differently in other ways in our life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now just take your seats for a minute. I wanted to leave 2 or 3 minutes for questions and things you did not understand because I was going at 100 miles an hour trying to fit everything in. Thank you very much. Any questions? Raise your hand. Usually what happens is people raise their hand and then they ask something and then I do my best to answer. That's what happens normally. Okay? Anyone got a question? Where are the toilets? They're around the back and to the left. Anyone got a question about this? Yes, my brother? I'm going to come over to you and point the microphone at you so that you can speak through the miracle of wireless.
I would like to know why the innocent are called upon to forgive the aggressor.
Oh, you ask the tough questions. All right, why does the innocent always have to forgive the aggressor? Yes. Okay. Having been wronged myself a couple of times, I'll give you the way I have found it in order of, no particular order, all right? The first one is because I found revenge doesn't work. Unfortunately, I've mentioned that. That's one of the 103 things I've mentioned to the Lord, why that revenge doesn't work. I haven't found it to work. So that's one of the reasons why I choose to forgive. Secondly, I'm just giving you my list. I'll come back. You can ask a supplementary question. We'll pretend we're in the Senate. The second thing is, not only do I know now that revenge doesn't work, but I know that there is a genuine power in forgiveness. So in actual fact, when I am exercising forgiveness, I am exercising an authority, which is not about weak and wronged and aggressor. This is about who is acting with the authority that Jesus has told us to do. And the third reason is because that is the model Jesus set for me in his own life. And that's how he operated. He did not hold it against the aggressors, but he released them. Now, I'd also like to just underline that with this little statement. It doesn't come easy. None of that. So, do you want to...
I didn't want to hear that.
You didn't want to hear that?
No.
Oh, I'd like to say that forgiveness was easy. I'd like to say that.
But why should I have to forgive the aggressor?
Why not?
Well...
You want him to stew and suffer.
Why doesn't the aggressor seek forgiveness?
Because they don't normally. That's why they're called aggressors. No, they don't tend to feel guilt. But you see, guys, understand this, that the authority you have, when the Lord Jesus comes on the earth, he has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he chooses to do that. Now, he sets the example, he does that on the cross. But a lot of us have thought that forgiving the aggressor is mixed up with trusting them again. You're not asked to, you don't have to trust them again. You are asked to forgive them again, because only by that method do we actually exercise power and authority in the earth. Now, it's perverse. It doesn't add up in a human sense, but it is a genuine power on the face of the earth. And the reason why I know that is because Jesus exercised it. And he did that. He set me the example. Not only did he do it, but he taught it. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. That was the way he taught us to pray, because that's where the authority lies. It doesn't lie in holding against the aggressor, unfortunately. I've suggested that to him, as I said, a few times. Lord, just once, can I have one of those aggressors and exercise some authority on them? And he kind of says, no. I always love it when the Lord does that. No. But that's my answer. Thank you very much. You're a brave man to ask a question like that. Any other questions? We've got time for one more, possibly two. Yes. Yes. Oh, I find myself in a difficult situation. Hey, okay, keep going. No, wouldn't do that. Yes, Jesus taught that in the Gospels. Yeah. No, because no. slightly different, but if I can illustrate it like this. When we forgive someone the sins, we are acting, as I said, with the authority that the Lord Jesus has given us, and that is part of what we exercise. It's not just for someone else's sake that I forgive. It is also for mine. So on some occasions, Jesus will be talking about your own sake, and on other occasions he'll be talking about other people's sake. You just have to try and figure out by the context which he means. When he says, I think that when he says, listen, don't fail to forgive people, forgive them, it's in large part for our own sake, because we dilute the power of God by heaping on ourselves unforgiveness, because the people could go to God and get forgiveness themselves, but the effect is still on me. If I'm holding unforgiveness, there's an effect on me. And so Jesus wants us clean. So when the power comes out, it comes out not going at right angles, it's going full on. So a lot of people have the power of God. They have a power encounter. Have you ever noticed that? They'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're holding unforgiveness. It dilutes it, so that by the time it comes out of them, there's nothing there. There's a real dilution of the power of God when you don't forgive. So that's why we have authority to forgive sins. by and large for our own sake, and also for the moving in the power of God, but also for the sake of the one we need to forgive. Do not mix up forgiveness and trust. Someone who has wronged you, you don't have to rush out and trust him, buddy, love you, and all that sort of thing. Come on, be real. There's a problem here. We have to build trust again. I hate your guts right now, in a lovely way. But the truth is, you know why you struggle with your feelings about other people? Because you're not real with them. Yes, I love them in the Lord. You don't, actually. You hate them. You want revenge. You want them fixed. I've said to the Lord a few times, fix them. Just fix them. It's not fair that wives get to get the best prayers and not husbands get some. Wives have the best prayer of all. You know, wives, I tell you guys, your wife's probably cheating in her praying about you, man. You haven't got a hope. I just recommend you give up. You get wives, they pray this prayer, and it's deadly for husbands. The wives pray this prayer. They say, Holy Spirit, get him. That's all they pray, man. It's deadly. It's absolutely deadly. Husbands, you just can't. It's like you're like Superman, and it's kryptonite. Man, it's deadly. So none of you ladies write that down. I don't want you any praying that. An unsuspecting husband, Holy Spirit, get him. No, but the truth is, we want to release power into people's life. We've got to learn to forgive. We have to do that. Yes, brother? Last one. Yes. 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 Sometimes it can be. Yeah. Oh, okay. The few times that's happened to me, I've operated the same way. I've just dealt with the counterfeit the same way I dealt with the real thing. Let me just say this to all of you. There are remaining some questions you just simply won't get an answer for. That remains, right? Let's be honest about that. It's out there. Things in the world aren't straightforward. Like one and one means two most times, but sometimes you go one and one and you get a half. Yeah, that didn't add up. Right? You're going to do what God says. You're not going to get what you think or what you thought was the outcome, or even what the Word of God says is the outcome. Let me just relieve you of any stress. Don't worry about it. You just keep doing what you know Jesus says to do. You just keep doing it. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, but I've already prayed 400 times.
Well, pray 401 times. Somebody says to me, aren't you worried by the fact that, you know, this woman didn't get healed, she died? I said, no, I don't. My job is to pray and believe. I'm just going to concentrate on doing that. And I'm seeing more miracles because I'm doing that than I am when I sit back and say, well, will I pray or not? You know, she might get healed, she might not get healed, or the demon might come out, or it might not. I mean, see, you don't end up doing anything. See, just sucking in air, doing nothing. I'd rather get in and have a go. I've seen demons go having a go. I've seen bodies healed having a go. Now, what I'm hoping for one day, I'm just getting a picture on the inside of me, of me raising the dead. I'm going for that one. I'm going to have a go at that one. I'm going to get my friend Ehab to ring me up. Man, you better get over here quick. She's dead. Oh, good. I'm coming.
Yeah.
I thought you said she was dead, doctor.
No, I was only joking. Ha ha ha.
Guys, God bless you. You have a great day. It's afternoon tea. Cream biscuits? No, okay.
Let's put our hand together and thanks, Colin. Okay.